What is your favorite Christmas story?
Nestor the long-haired donkey.
Most of us have a story that we like to remember, or that we like to think about when it comes to Christmas time, a story that kind of sums up the time of the year, the season, the reality of Christ for us. Can we get... There we go. What's your story? Once upon a time, there was a Christmas that my wife and I were so excited about. There was this particular gift that Joanne just had to have for her mom. We stopped at a... Sorry, this is weird. We're gonna have to work on our placement, and we'll have to figure out what is the step down. Nope. So we got another story to tell. But my wife found this gift for my mother-in-law, and she collected pottery, and it was specific to the area in which Joanne was born and grew up in Clarion, Pennsylvania, and it was called Puritan. It was Puritan pottery, and it was baked, and it was hand-painted, and it had these little flower kind of, I wouldn't even call them flowers. They were symbols that looked like flowers. But she found this piece at a roadside auction house, sale barn, that her mom didn't have. And she had this full cabinet, completely full, and we found the piece that she didn't have. And Joanne was so excited. It was this teapot that was in perfect condition. It was like the find of the century. And even though funds were tight, we found the resources to buy it because it was actually a great deal for the piece that it was. And I can remember on that Christmas Eve where we all went together as a family to Joanne's homestead and had Christmas, I can remember going up the backyard and down into a stairwell where it was an old farmhouse and there was this big homemade wood door at the bottom of these steep steps that you turn sideways actually to go down. And you got to the bottom, and when it was dark, you had to feel around for the doorknob because there was no light above it. It was an old farmhouse, pre-electric built entry. And I can remember with an armful of presents going down those stairs and turning that knob and opening the door only to hear as I went to step in, crash. And my wife totally silent as she dropped the present that she had purchased for her mom. The tears immediately began to flow because this was like a gift that you couldn't replace. This was like the find of a lifetime. And it was now broken to pieces. Her mom came down the stairs as she heard the crash, wanting to know, is everybody all right, to see Joanne sitting on those stairs, just weeping. And her mom said, what's the matter? And she said, that was your gift. And now it's broken. Now it's broken. And her mom said, well, let's open it up and let's take a look at it and let's see what we can do. And she opened it up and she's like, oh boy, I don't have one of these. And it was in about 8 pieces. I don't have one of these. And I heard her as she turned around yell to Joanne's dad before he passed away, Chuck, get me that porcelain glue. And her and Joanne sat and put that teapot back together. And even though Her dad is now passed away. Her mom is now passed away. Her second oldest brother still lives in the homestead and farms the farm there, the dairy. In the entryway, in the handcrafted glass front cabinet that all of Laura's Puritan pottery is, still in the center shelf, center is that glued together teapot. I will never forget how Joe's mom made her feel, as though that was the best gift ever. The greatest memories wrapped around Christmas are not the gifts that we get. Now, the older I get, the more I watch like Antiques Roadshow and go, man, I got one of those for Christmas. And if I'd have left it in the box and never played with it, I had a pedal car Batmobile. And man, if what is your Christmas story? A lot of times we tend to intermingle our story with his story. We make Christmas about us. We make it about those moments, even though heart-wrenching and touching and monumentous, like Joe's mom saying, Chuck, get me that porcelain glue. And as you get it, this time of the year is really not about us. It's not about our kids. It's not about our parents. It's not about our families. This is the season that is all about Jesus. It's his story. Next slide. How would you tell his story? How would you tell his story this time of the year? I love the transition that has come into my mind and the clarity that has come, that when I read Scripture, I don't read it just as a good book. I read Scripture absolutely as the history that God gave to us from the very origins of the very beginning right on through to where we are now. The Scripture, the Bible, holds true, and it tells the history of where we were and where we're going. It's prophetic, and it tells not just now, but it tells of our future. It's his story. How would you tell his story? Let's watch this little video of a kid's rendering. There's a group of kids telling their rendering of the Christmas story.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared, and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel was singing.
Yes.
And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it.
Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how it would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
There's a lot of theological issues in there. But the focus is really about baby Jesus. The focus is really about telling his story. The focus is about making him known. The focus is understanding that he came for us. Now, I wanted to show that to you because it was humorous, and when I saw it, I was just like, seriously, I can't show this. And then it was like, seriously, I can show this. The story of Jesus from our lips to their ears can be engaging, and it can be fun, and it can be uplifting. It can focus and tell the story of a Savior in a relevant way. I love listening to how the kids portrayed. My favorite part was the bringing him gifts. You know, a purple dinosaur and wipes and diapers and milk out of the mouth of babes. Bringing him gifts. How would you tell his story? Let's read in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up also to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Then when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. This year, Christmas, most people will think, is about presents. If we can go to the next slide. It's about presents and those things that will come our direction, those things that we can put into our pocket or into our billfold or into our home or onto our car or into our house. There are those things that we expect, those presents that we want. I can't tell you when somebody asked me, what do you want for Christmas? How many things over the past year, over the past months, I've said that I want it? There's always tools and there's always something, and this is what I want. But in reality, the very presence of Jesus is not just what I want, but what I need. Christmas is about filling that need and meeting that need for God to be a part of our lives, for Emmanuel, God to be with us. Let's talk this morning about the presence of God and the presence of others in this story. And so let me break it down in a little different fashion than maybe a traditional style of Christmas message. First of all, his presence came. He was the presence of God come to us. It all began for me when he came as a child. Now, I did my DNA and I got my history back, and there's not a single percentage of me that's Jewish, which means if this baby would not have been born, I could not know the God that I know. If it wasn't for a Savior, the veil would not have been rent and the temple walls come down. There would have been no way for me to know the presence of Jesus Christ. He came. At the beginning of this story, they go to the town of Bethlehem for Joseph to register him and Mary, who was engaged to him to be married. She was big and pregnant, and they came to this place, and they came to a town that was busy and crowded, and there was absolute chaos. In your Lifestyle 7 this week, you're going to be challenged to look at the town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born and to actually think about, why did Jesus choose such a busy, crowded time? Why in the world did God pick Bethlehem at the time of census for this child to be born? But in reality, he came in the midst of all of the chaos. He came for you and for me. Whatever your world is like today, whether it's chaotic or whether it's smoothed out and will become chaotic again, no matter where you are in your life, Jesus came for you. The story goes on to talk about the shepherds. In the next slide, the angels came. There were shepherds out in the field at night. And did anybody in the last few weeks see the anomaly in the sky? The circle. You'll have to ask Pastor Joe to look at the picture on her phone. We got out of our car one day at Fred Meyer's on 85th Street on the other side of town. And as she was getting out of the car, she looked up into the sky, and there was this almost perfectly formed circle in the sky. It wasn't like a cylinder that it protruded down. It was almost like a cylinder that went up. And so it was like a hole in the clouds, perfectly rounded and up into the sky. And it was very defined and very distinct and absolutely weird. And so I had to stand there in the cold while she's taking all these pictures of this anomaly in the sky. On Thursday, the pastors were driving down for a pastor's lunch at South Center, and we were on 5. And I said to Joe, she was sitting in the back, and Pastor Kent was in the front, and Pastor Jen was in the back. I said, "Look, Joe." And there was another one of those circles in the clouds. It was the weirdest, oddest thing the first time I saw it, and even weirder the second time I saw it. Now that was weird. The shepherds are out watching their flocks by night. They are men of the field. They are men of the night. They are men who know the sky. I can imagine the nights that they just laid on their backs on their bedroll and just looked at the stars and watched the sky and the sea, all of those things that were going on, the shooting stars. And boy, you can see the Milky Way good tonight. Or when I was in Canada, Jo loved to get me up in the middle of the night. I don't know why, but she loved to get me up in the middle of the night to go and look at the northern lights that were so brilliant that almost you could, I mean, they were so brilliant and so bright and so close to you, you could almost, it wasn't physical, but you could almost hear them appear and fade away. Now think about this. An angel came to the shepherds by night. In such a way, in such a night anomaly that they were terrified. These men had seen everything, and yet they had never seen the angel come in the middle of the night in the sky. And the scripture says they were terrified. But the message that came to them was soothing. The message that the angel brought was that Jesus, the Messiah, is born. And so the shepherds came, and the shepherds became a part of his story. And they declared to one another, the angels speak truth. The angels came. Jesus came, the angels came. The next slide, the shepherds came. I don't know how this went. Whether they were so excited that they just left their flocks unattended. On Friday when I talked about this, I thought, well, maybe there was 8 shepherds, or in this picture, maybe there was 6 shepherds, and 3 of them stayed back. Well, 3 of them went. And then after the first 3 saw baby Jesus, they went back to the field, and the next 3 came. I don't know how it went, but I do know this. They heard the word of God proclaimed through the angel, and they had to go and see. They had to go and see. You know what most of us have to go and see this time of year? Is what's under the tree. As a kid, I'd wake up at 4 in the morning, still get up at 4, but I'd get up at 4, and I'd be sitting at the tree when I could finally get my mom and dad out of bed. Like, I want to see what's here for me. I want to know what gift is under the tree. I want to know what I got, what I received. The shepherd said, now we have a message. Let's go and see the gift. Let's go and see the gift that was given for all mankind. Let's go and see this Jesus that the angels declared. The next slide is this. You come. I wondered this past week if I would have been in the office the day that Jesus came. Would I have shut down my computer and told the office staff, I'm going to see, you know, I got this inclination, I just got this heavenly message, and there's a Messiah born, and, you know, hold all my calls, cancel all of my appointments, I'm going to go and see. I wondered what I would do if actually I was busy when Jesus was born. What would I do? And I begin to process what would I do into what do I do. This time of the year, we're getting ready to travel, we're packing, we're making sure everything is ready. It gets so busy that you can literally forget about Jesus until it comes to Sunday morning church or Christmas Eve. Or if you're like my family, we get up every Christmas morning, and before we could even open a gift, and even though I was at the tree early, before I could even open a gift, my dad would read the Christmas story. He would read out of the book of Luke, and he would share that story. But my mind always, as a kid, was focused on what's in it for me. What's in it for me? This year, I began to process and began to think, how inclusive have I made Jesus in this time of the year? I was so excited at Home Depot the other night. There was a man, I think he was from India. He had the head wrap, and he sounded like he may have come from India. And so he checked me out, and as I was getting ready to go, he looked me right in the eye and said, "Merry Christmas." And I thought, how cool is that? When Seattle is one of those places we're trying to make happy holidays the standard. We're trying to eliminate Christmas. We're trying to do all of that. And this man intentionally looked me in the eye and with all earnestness said, "Merry Christmas." Intentional about putting Christ in and coming to him, making him known. So yesterday, as we stopped at another store, Joe had to pick up a few things, and we went in, and the cashier was a young gentleman. And he had been coached. He had been coached. And so after I took my card out and he handed me his receipt or my receipt, he said, "Happy Holidays." And I took the example from Home Depot. And I just kind of stepped back. I didn't do this. I didn't get aggressive. But I kind of stepped back and I said, "Merry Christmas to you." And it was almost a light came on in his spirit. And it was like, okay, I have the freedom to say it back. It's time we keep Christ in Christmas. It's time that we intentionally come to him and let him be known, not just in our own circles, but to those around us. Amen. I'm embarrassed to say, as Pastor Joe and I sat and talked about this Christmas and the ministry overall, and I'm embarrassed. She said, "Glenn, tell me, what did Fairview do this year to reach the lost at Christmas?" I'm counting on you guys to tell his story. I'm counting on you guys to let his light shine through you. The pastors, we're going to sit down and we're going to figure this out. Like I said, I was embarrassed when my own wife asked me the question, what did we do to proclaim the gospel? She's already on it. She got my response. She continued in that conversation. She's already on it. She's already getting stuff ready for the kids to do for next year that is outreach-oriented, that is Christ-oriented, that is the gospel message outreach momentum. I love Fairview. On the front of your bulletin, it even says, "Merry Christmas, friends." And in that, there's a Fairview logo. I love Fairview. But this time of the year is not about us. It's about the message of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you and challenge you. Tomorrow morning when you get up, if for nobody else but for yourself, read the Christmas story. Read his story. Start your day making Christ number one. He came. Our next slide. To be the rescuer. Now, Pastor Dan, you can come ahead and come up. And most all of you who have been here know that we have been putting the end of the message together with that last song and making it applicable. And I was tickled pink. I was so excited when I Googled rescuer and I actually found a manger. That is not, I do a lot of editing and overlays and building slides and putting two pictures together. This I did not. This was completely a God thing to remind me that Jesus came, born in a manger, born in that stable as a little baby to be my rescuer, to be your rescuer. He came. The angels came to man and said, the Savior is born. The shepherds went and saw him. Now it's our moment in history to cling to him, to go to him, to come to him, to embrace him, to make Jesus the reason for this season. Just before we sing, would you pray with me? Awesome God, we thank you for your word, for your story. We thank you that it is absolute truth. Lord, I pray that you would show us and teach us and grow us. Lord, I ask that you would prepare us even now for those things that are to come. Lord, as I shared about my embarrassment on outreach and making you known this year, Lord, let us take that to heart. Let us not be caught short ever when it comes to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim you. Let us make you the reason, for you are our rescuer. You are our Savior. You are the light in darkness. And today, Lord, as a group, as a congregation, we want to say, we love you and thank you for coming, for becoming man, dwelling amongst us, giving your very life for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.